London's West End is full of theatres, but in its heart is one small theatre with a stage floor made of glass and with a predominantly male audience, including our East End friend and politician George Lansbury, who had his own box here in the 1930s. This is the Windmill Theatre. Its wartime reputation has encouraged people to think of it as a place that not only never closed during the Blitz, but also entertained scores of hungry squaddies by putting naked, motionless women on stage. Today, it's a strip club. However, I spoke to Margaret and Iris, who worked at the Windmill collectively between 1948 and 1963, when it was a thriving performance venue, and I learnt that there was much, much more to this iconic theatre. Iris explained why the Windmill would be somewhere that girls would want to work.
Well, first of all, to get into the Windmill was very, very prestigious in the 50s.
Yeah.
Because you could learn your trade there, and also you became sort of famous overnight.
However, Iris realised that society didn't readily accept the idea of a young girl taking up with this profession.
I was at the Borough Paragon doing tailoring and designing. Hated school, couldn't say in my class, I want to be a singer, because you had to say I want to be a tailoress, a dressmaker or a cook.
In comparison, Margaret's education was theatrical, but even so, aged 15, she didn't know much about the Windmill.
Do you know what the reputation was like of the Windmill before you joined it?
Reputation, I had no idea. I came from an Ada Foster dancing and dramatic school, education as well included.
How did Margaret and Iris find themselves working there?
I went along with another girl, said, let's go for a couple of auditions. Got to start sometime.
How old were you?
My first time in London, 16. I was quite an innocent 16. So we went to the stage door and we asked, or she asked, could we have an audition? And the stage door man, Ben, phoned up to VD, Mr. Van Damme. I had no idea what I was going into. And he said, have you seen the show? I said, no, but I've seen a couple of pictures. Perhaps I better not, or I won't want to come here. I always remember saying that.
What was his reaction?
He just laughed.
When I was about 12 or 13, I used to sing in the pub for my stepfather, who used to say, get up and have a sing, have a sing song and, you know, win me a bottle of wine or something. And then when I was 15, I got a job. I walked along Old Compton Street, walked into a Latin American club and said, I'm a singer. And they said, okay, sing. So I got up on the stage and sang, and I got a job midnight till 2 a.m, £3 a week.
Okay. So would that have been unusual for a teenager to have work?
Of course, 15 and going into a Latin American club and singing in Soho. So I used to go to Cy Laurie's Jazz Club, bang opposite the Windmill. And I used to dance down there. I was walking around the corner near the Windmill and I met a girl who I'd met through somebody else. And I said, oh, hi, Kim, how are you? And she said, fine. And I said, do you think I can get a job at the Windmill? She said, I can't see why not. I think you should go and see the old man. I said, well, can you ask him if I can see him? She rang up and she said, Mr. Van Damme, I've got a friend here who wants to see you. She'd like to be a Windmill girl. Can she see you? And he said, yes, tell her to come up. He said to me, what can you do? I said, oh, I can do anything. He said, can you sing? I said, I can sing. He said, can you dance? I said, I'm a good dancer. I've won the championship. Okay. You're in. You start on Monday or something. So, in I go.
Both Margaret and Iris got jobs at the Windmill through knocking on the door. Although, as Iris pointed out,
you had to have something special. Otherwise, he wouldn't give you a job.
What was the old man, VD or Vivian Van Damme, actually like?
He was such a brilliant man.
Right.
He was like a father to us. And the Windmill was a family get-together. There was never any arguments or anything like that. You had to do what you had to do. And Van Damme, each day, when you were in a dressing room, he'd just slide in. You'd never know he was around, but you'd just sense that the door was creeping open. He'd stand and talk to us in the mirror. He's doing his tie-up in the mirror and just ask a few questions that he needed to know, maybe, you know.
He'd ask you questions about how your life was going.
Oh, absolutely. And... what are you looking at? He said to me once. And I was looking at a magazine. I said, I'm looking at a wedding dress. He said, I'll buy that for you. So that's a man, isn't it? That's to be admired, really. Everybody loved him.
Van Damme ran the windmill. He was involved in the financial side and also the artistic side as well.
Oh, everything.
Everything. Did he die during the time you were there?
Yes. And there was a note from Sheila saying Dad passed away, but he would only want you to go on and do a show that surpasses yourself, if you like, you know.
Was that a shock for you?
Yes. Well, I know he had been ill for a long time, and we expected it, really.
And so what was life different after he left? What was it like under Sheila?
It was very different. Sheila was a lovely person.
I loved Sheila. I thought she was great. We were really good friends. She took over from Vivian Van Damme. She was a very famous rally driver. But Sheila came from this very lovely family. Remember, she'd been brought up with the windmill.
So it seems the windmill was a family-run business, and the ambience at the theatre clearly reflected this.
We had our own wardrobe department, our own millinery, everything. Rehearsal rooms upstairs. We didn't need to go out of the building. Very self-sufficient, the whole windmill was.
The girls at the windmill had to have a proper meal every day, and the old man made sure that we all had our proper lunch. And it wasn't sort of a lettuce leaf and a cucumber. She made a roast dinner every day. And in fact, people came up. Des O'Connor, Morecambe and Wise, and all these people knew the canteen and knew Mrs. O'D, and they'd come up and eat there because, you know, she'd make a proper meal. Remember, we were there from 10 in the morning till 11 at night. And then the next day, we were rehearsing from 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening. We practically lived there, you see.
Who actually worked at the Windmill Theatre?
There were only about 16 of us, girls, in each company.
So 16 girls, and you mentioned there were guys as well, including your husband. How many
two
men?
Two or three boys in each company. Forsyth was in B, A, John was in B, they were equal. And there was a singer, a very good singer in both companies.
There were comedians, Johnny Silver, Jimmy Edmondson, Arthur English. They were the resident comedians that we had. But then there was always a comedian that came in to do his act.
Did other theatres run the same kind of operation that the Windmill Theatre ran, or was that the only one?
It was the only one I know that did six shows a day.
And what did working at the Windmill involve on a daily basis?
Rehearsals all day one day, six shows the next day.
Two companies, six shows, and we started at, get there about 10:45, get our makeup on, and the show starts at 12:15, until 10 to 11 at night. So that was a whole six shows a day.
And the same shows?
Yeah, six times.
Oh my God, that's exhausting. How long were the shows?
1 hour 50 minutes.
Okay.
And a 10 minute break, and then you started the next show at 2:00.
And what did each show consist of?
Well, there was always an opening, and it was always... it could be a kicking, it usually was a kicking routine.
Yeah.
And then you'd get a sort of tableau, a fan dance, where you'd get the principal fan dancer and you'd get four girls around her dressed because, you know, they weren't allowed to be nude or striptease. Then you'd get maybe a Latin American that was shaking the maracas and the clackers. And then you'd have a solo singer. There might be a duet, a tap duet. Then there'd be the serious ballet. So it was really like all round vaudeville.
Six performances a day tells me that this is a commercially successful...
Oh, exactly.
And so you was it full?
The first house, you might have three rows in and a couple upstairs. It was that bad sometimes. Those that want to get to the front seat.
Right.
Try and get there early, you know.
Yeah.
And then second house, it builds up quite considerably.
Right.
And by fifth house, it's packed.
And what were the audience like?
First of all, the audiences in the beginning of the war were obviously sailors, soldiers, young men that wanted to go and see girls in titillating sort of... I mean, they weren't seeing anything. And then, I suppose, towards the end, you'd always get the old boys that used to write to us all the time and say, I'm in love with you, please send me a photo.
Dear Miss Cooper, I am looking for a pretty wife, one who does not smoke or drink. Perhaps you or one of your friends may be interested. I have enclosed a couple of snaps. I'm 31 years old, 6 foot tall, dark and thin. I am worth about £25,000 and have an income of £4,000 per year. And I am interested in music, tennis and dancing and snooker. Perhaps you or one of your friends would like to write to me. Yours sincerely, Basil Lagerwall.
So was fan mail common?
Lots of fan mail. Look, because some of the boys were still in the army.
Right.
So I used to regularly write back to them with a photograph.
Well, the Windmill Girls clearly took their fans very seriously. They were beautiful and talented, and still are. However, they were not strippers.
You couldn't see anything at the Windmill, I might add. People used to think, you get these people say, oh yes, did you strip off? What? You don't do that at the Windmill.
Yeah.
It was beautifully done. Everything was done. You had knit tops with sequins on.
Yeah.
We never really saw anything. It's what they thought they could see.
The audience could see less of the girls than they hoped. And being on stage, the girls couldn't see the audience either. Given the separation from the audience and the long hours they worked, it was hard for the girls to find boyfriends. But Margaret was lucky to find love in the wings at the Windmill.
Tell me about your meeting your husband.
Well, it was strange. He'd been there before me. And then he had to go in the army at 18. And one show after, like 6 weeks later, he came back. This is my second show. And they gave me this little song and dance duet with John. And it was called You're the Match for Me. In Sweden, I'm sure there are matches galore, but you're the match for me. You know? I had that written on my wedding cake. You're the match for me. And we had 18 months engagement. And we had some 50 years together.
And you did many more dances and duets together?
Every other show. Every show we did duet, dance duet.
So Margaret found love. But what about Iris?
I never wanted to get married. And I have been with people that have been so powerful. I was with a prince at one time for many years. It offered me £1 million a year if I'd marry him. And I said no.
Iris was at the Windmill for 7 years and Margaret was there for 10 years between 1948 to 1958. And what was life like for them after they left?
I had a baby, that's right. What I left for. Lovely, you know, yeah. I wanted a baby and everything. We had to start sometime, otherwise I wouldn't get one. But I missed the sit business very badly.
Yeah. I went to work at Paul Raymond's, and then from there, I worked at the Lirondelle and the Stork, and then I worked at the Cabaret Club with Christine Keeler.
I go to tap dancing Thursdays. Yeah, but I love and the can-can.
Can you still do it?
Yeah, I do the splits still.
Can you?
Well, I did it for too long. You know, my legs just go there. I can't get my legs together.
Well, Margaret may still be dancing, but that's more than we can say for the Windmill Theatre, which closed in 1964 and which is now open as a strip club. Not all London's windmills have closed, and my next podcast will take you to the depths of Croydon to find another building with plenty of wind in its sails.